time for preaching. I appreciate Brother Mark Stroud, the pastor of Wahoo Baptist Church near Gainesville, Georgia. He has blessed our hearts these first two nights, and I've looked forward to hearing him preach tonight. And God's touched this man's life. I appreciate him being part of this meeting. I want you to hear him gladly. He's going to preach to us about 30 minutes. And you help him now. Talk back to him. It'll help you and it'll help him. I appreciate him. Love you, brother. Preach to us. Amen.
All right, if you've got your Bible, open it with me to the book of Job, chapter number 42. The book of Job, chapter number 42. It's been a joy to be here. Well, the Lord's helped me this week, and I thank the Lord for it. Thank God for how he spoke to my heart. Brother Steve, I appreciate the kind invitation to be a part of the meeting, and I hope I've said something to be a blessing to you. I want to be a help to God's people. I tell you what, if I can't be a help to God's people, I'd soon stay at the house. I've got a wife that I love and two boys that are growing up under my nose, and if I can't be a blessing to God's people, I'd just soon stay at home and raise my boys and be with my family, be at our church. But I thank God for the opportunity he's given me to go and try to be a blessing to God's people all across the Lord of the Southeast where he's let me preach, and I thank the Lord for it. But I thank God for the Spirit of God that's ministered to me this week. I like to be in meetings where you're not doing all the preaching, but you get to sit and listen to the preaching. Let me tell you something, preachers need preaching. Amen. You say you don't believe it, you go look at my iPhone, see how many messages I've got in there. And, man, I thank God for that tune-in radio. I can get GCR, TBI, KJV. And, man, there's somebody preaching on one of them stations all day long. And I thank the Lord for it. Job chapter number 42. When you find your place, let's stand together. Just want to read just a few verses of Scripture, testify a little while. And I tell you what, I turned over to this part of the book. Brother Gravely was preaching out of Psalm chapter 1. And I'll say this to you preachers. Brother Gravely said it, and I like it. He told his young preachers, he said, if you won't say amen to the truth, you got no right to preach the truth. He said he put his young preachers on probation. He said, you ought to at least say amen 25 times in a message. And he said, if you don't say amen 25 times in a message, then I'm going to put you on probation. You won't preach around here. Amen. I tell you what, a man of God, amen, that means that's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. And fellas, hey, you ought to help somebody like you want them to help you when you're preaching. Amen. God, I'll preach without amen, but it sure helps when you get one every once in a while. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it. Job chapter number 42. Let's begin reading with verse number 12. The Bible said, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen. And 1,000 she-asses, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Happuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. The Bible said in verse 16, after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. The Bible said, so Job died being old and full of days. You can be seated. I want to turn your attention back to verse number 16, and I'll ask you to keep your Bible open, and we'll look back into it in a moment. But the Bible said in verse number 16, where I want to take my text this evening, the Bible said, after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. I'm interested in that first phrase, After this lived Job. After this lived Job. May I say to you, the life of this man, this godly man, not according to men's opinion, not according to the world's opinion, but neighbor, it was according to God's opinion. He said, there is none like him in all the earth. He was a righteous man that escheweth evil. And God has held the testimony of Job high in the sacred pages of the Word of God to show us that in spite of the fact that trials will pound the life of the child of God, that the Lord can pick us up and the Lord can come right on time. And as Brother Tom said, the Lord can help you hold your chin up. I'm glad the psalmist said that the Lord is a lifter up of my head. I don't know about you, but there's times in this life where it does seem like it gets mighty dark and our head begins to drag low. But thank God for the times that the blessed Holy Ghost of the blessed Word of God comes along, puts those precious fingers underneath my chin and lifts my head up. I'm telling you, Job is a trophy that's been tucked into the trophy case of God. Like the athletes, they put their rings and their trophies up in the case. And you better believe Job is in the trophy case of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I thank God that he put Job in the book, because if that kind of man can have dark hours, I'm glad, thank God, we don't have to think it's strange when the darkness comes in our life. And you better believe, as Brother Tom's been preaching, there's going to be times it seems like that the Lord has let the light go out. But can I testify to you? The old song said the flame may have flickered, but it's never gone out. I'm glad, thank God, you can't cut on the darkness. I'm glad you get to cut on the light. Because when light comes, darkness is dispelled. And I bless his name. I used to get worried in those dark hours to my life until I read the Bible. Amen. What a thought about that. And then I read where the Bible said that it dwelleth in the thick darkness. I'm telling you, listen to me. Somebody said that God the Father won't do anything for Jesus that he won't do for you. He said, but he didn't do anything to Jesus that he won't do to you. And you better believe if God the Father cut the lights off on the Son of God for 3 hours when he hung between man and hung between God, you better believe, child of God, it's not always going to be roses. It's not always going to be the mountaintop. But there's going to be some difficult hours. But I believe Job would stand and testify today that even in the darkness and even in the valley, God's good. I'm glad it don't have to listen to me, friend. If the only time you're going to praise God is when the lights are on and the stars are aligned and all the bills are paid and there's no burdens and it's a perfect time, neighbor, you'll never lift your voice. You'll never lift your hands. But can I tell you, joy, it's not in the absence of trouble, but joy is in the presence of the shepherd, friend. And I'm glad, thank God, you ain't got to wait. But tonight in the middle of darkness, God can help you shout the house down, because he is victory, he is joy, he is peace, and he is strength. I'm glad God's faithful even in the dark hour. Job, listen to me. Brother Tom said he's preaching on that be a good cheer. And in those dark hours of the soul, you better believe Job in the entire book is in a dark hour of the soul. It seems like light's never going to come. But can I tell you, friend, listen, Job's three friends came on the scene. I believe they came, Brother Steve, I believe they came with the right intention, because they sat there for 7 days and they mourned with Job and they didn't say a word. I believe they started out with the right intentions. But where Job's friends messed up is they thought it was their responsibility to put an explanation on Job's situation. May I say to you, if God had given Job no explanation, who were they to give Job an explanation? Can I tell you, child of God, it'll be a glad day in your Christian life when you realize there are no explanations to some of the situations in our life. But as a child of God, we don't live on explanations. explanations, and we don't live on answers, but we live on the blessed promises of God's precious word. Can I tell you, throwing ball, I broke every finger on my hand. I broke both ankles, sprained knees. Can I tell you, never one time did a doctor ever walk into an emergency room, or did a doctor ever walk into a doctor's office and give an explanation to what he was reading on that x-ray, and it ever take the pain away. It didn't help me to know which joint was dislocated. It didn't help me to know what ligament was sprained. It didn't help me to know what bone was broken. And may I say, explanations in our life are never going to get the job done. But can I tell you, when there are no explanations, I'm glad there is an anchor that's been looped around us to keep us, praise God, close to the Savior. I'm telling you, the old song used to say, when there are no answers, there is Jesus. When there is no answers, can I tell you, man of God, in your place where you're serving, it may seem like there's no answers. Mom and dad, your children may be going haywire, and it may not seem like there are any answers. But can I tell you, thank God, there are some answers, and there's some promises in God's precious holy word. I'm telling you, hang on, friend. It's going to get better by and by. Amen. Amen. What Job didn't realize, this battle had nothing to do with Job. All it was, Job's life was the battlefield between God the Father and the devil. I don't know about you, but I just hope he keeps my name out of his next conversation with the devil. Amen, friend. You want him to talk about you, have at it, but I just sooner keep my name out of it. Say amen. Hey, but Job was an unlikely candidate in an unseen conflict. And brother, you better believe he was embroiled in an unbelievable crisis. Hey, he didn't know what was going on. You need to understand something. The book of Job closed, and Job knew no more about his ordeal. Job knew no more about his situation in Job 42 than he did in Job chapter number 2. God never one time gave him an explanation. But I tell you what Job found out. That God was faithful. Amen. And sometimes you're just going to have to trust the Lord and take the promises that he's given you in his word and march on for the glory of God. Can I tell you, the easiest time to quit is when it's difficult. But I tell you what, friend, you study a little bit of history. They tell me that when Christopher Columbus was sailing for the New World, they said Columbus had gone many, many, many days, and there had been no sighting of land. And said that he got to the logbook, and it had been days since they had seen any land, and they hadn't seen. They'd been out on the ocean for many, many days. And can I tell you, listen, what he said? He signed into that logbook, Brother Fox, and he said these words. He put the date, and he said, "Today we sailed on," and they didn't see any land. And the next day, he got the logbook out, and he logged the date, and he said, "Today we sailed on." And the next day, there was no land, and he signed the date book, and he said, "Today we sailed on." Some history professor said, if Columbus would have turned around, nobody would have blamed him. But he also said nobody would have remembered him either. I'm telling you what, sometimes if you're going to be memorable, honey, you may just have to be miserable for a little while. But can I tell you, man of God, it may seem like it's been a long time since you've seen the land. It's been a long time since you've seen the shore. A child of God, Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, whatever you may do, it may seem like it's been a while since you picked some fruit off the tree. But I say, get your logbook out and say, sign in and say, "Today we sailed on," and "Today we sailed on," and "Today we sailed on." Honey, you'll never sail on, you'll never get to the land if you just don't make up your mind that by the good grace of God, you're going to sail on. I say, march on, march on. March on. One writer said that the Lord may be a God that hides himself, but he's never a God that absents himself. And he may be in the dark, but he's never in the distance. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, you may not be able to see him Hey, you may not understand. Job said, I walk forward and he's not there. I go back and I can't perceive him. I can't see him on the left hand and I can't see him on the right hand. Oh, but Job 23:10, aren't you glad that the Bible don't stop after verses like that? Oh, but Job 23:10 said, oh, but he knoweth the way that I take. Oh, can I tell you, sometimes in your Christian life, it's not about what you know, but it's about what he knows. I tell you what, I'd rather him know where I'm going than where I'm going, because praise God, he knows the beginning from the end. He's always been God. He always is God, and he forever will be God. And I'm glad when I can't find him, and I'm glad when I can't see him. He's still the Lord. He said, after this, after this, if you'd asked Job in Job 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, to all the way to 41, Job, is there going to be an after this? Job would have said, nope. Matter of fact, Job 3, he began to curse the day in which he was born. And when he closed the curse, he closed it with four why questions. Hello, don't get nervous, but it ain't a sin to ask God why. I think Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God, had no sin nature, never did any sin. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where we get mixed up is when we think he owes us an explanation. You can ask him why all you want to, but neighbor, you're bumfuzzled if you think he owes you an answer. Amen, friend. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, he said why? He wondered what was going on. And may I tell you, I bet you that ain't the right thing to say while you're preaching, is it? Amen. I guarantee you there's folks sitting under my voice tonight. You're in a place that you've been for a long time, and you don't think an after this is a coming. There's some of you preachers, you've about got it in your mind, if you don't get help this week, and if some one thing doesn't happen, that you're going to walk to a pulpit and you're going to resign and say, God doesn't want me here. It might not be that God don't want you there. It might be that you don't want to stay until that after this comes. But can I tell you, listen, Brother Wheeler told me years ago, the first thing you ought to buy when you go to the church and the pastor of church is a tombstone and plan on spending your life there. He said, if God moves you, amen. But if he don't go, planning on staying. And may I say, some of you, you're dead. It's been a while since God's flooded your soul, and that burden has pressed you beyond measure, and you're wondering, dear God, is there ever going to be an after this? But I say, it's not time to give up. It's not time to let down. It's not time to back off the throttle. There is going to be an after this one day. And after this, there's a promise to assure us. And after this, my precious little mother, the most godly woman I've ever known in my life, I've never heard her raise her voice to my daddy. Never one time. Servant of God all the days of her life. And she's got Alzheimer's. The other day, for the first time, she couldn't remember my boys' names. And I just wept and wept. Can I tell you this? One way or the other, there's going to be an after this. Hallelujah. It probably ain't going to be this side, and I'm all right with that. I wondered one time, I struggled why God would let her, you know, you pray for me. I said, why couldn't some wicked woman that didn't love her family, some drunk, some dope, why couldn't you give her that disease? God told me one night when I was praying, he said, I couldn't trust them to suffer. He said, but I can trust you, Mama, to suffer. Oh, blessed be God. Can I tell you, some of you need an after this. Oh, Job said, naked came I into the world. He looked back. And then he said, naked I shall return. He looked forward. But honey, some of us could say that, naked I came in, and naked I'm going to leave. But then he took the next step, and he didn't look back, and he didn't look ahead. But neighbor, he turned and looked up. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I tell you tonight, some of you tried to give your way out. Some of you tried to pray your way out. Some of you tried to serve your way out. But can I remind you, when they were in shackles and chains in Acts chapter number 16 with blood running down their back, they began to pray and sing praises to God. And when they got in the glory, the shackles fell off and the doors came open. Some of you ought to realize that one way or the other, whether it's this side or that, there is going to be an after this. What do you know, Job? Job 3, don't know much. What do you know, Job? Job 4, he doesn't know anything. Job 5, he doesn't know anything. Job 6, he doesn't know anything. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He doesn't know anything. But then comes 19. Job 19, he said, no. It took him 19 chapters to get there. But thank God Almighty, when he arrived, he knew more than he realized he knew. He said, I know my Redeemer. We ought to just take time out, run 45 laps around the building, and thank God there is a Redeemer. Somebody please explain to me. Brother Gillum, as far as I can tell, had my studies, Job was the very first book of the Old Testament recorded. Hey, can I tell you, the great books of redemption in the Word of God had yet to be penned. The book of Exodus, where he redeemed them by power, where he went in there, listen, that Pharaoh, that type of the Antichrist, God delivered the nation of Israel out by the power of his right hand. And may I say, Exodus had not been written. And honey, you better believe he wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. He's not afraid of Muhammad. He's not afraid of Ahmadinejad. He's not afraid of the guy in Korea. He's not afraid of the guy in China. Praise God, he is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's still the Lord. And there's none else beside him. Praise God. Thank God he's the Lord. And that had been written. And then the book of Ruth. It's not redemption by power. Book Ruth's of redemption by purchase. And Ruth had not yet been written. You're the book of redemption in Exodus, and Ruth had not yet been written. But neighbor Job stood up in the darkest hour maybe of any man that ever lived and said, I want you to know, I don't know a lot of things, but I know my Redeemer. Listen to me, it was like Exodus. It wasn't a lamb. It wasn't the lamb, but it became his lamb. Amen. You'll go to hell if all you got's a lamb. And you'll go to hell if all you got's the lamb. But honey, when he becomes your lamb, you'll never have to worry about the condemnation of God. You pass from death unto life. Job said, I've got a Redeemer. I'm not going to hell. But thank God I'm not going to hell. I've got a Redeemer. Amen. I got a Redeemer. He said, I know my Redeemer. Where'd he get that at? I don't know, but Job 1 opens with him sacrificing for his children. Let me just say this in passing. You find him sitting over in them ashes, scraping his sores. You say, why is he sitting in them ashes? I'm glad y'all want to know. Praise God. I tell you why he's sitting in them ashes. That was the last place he'd heard from God. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going back to the last place I heard from God, and I'm just going to sit down. He said, because he's been meeting with me for a long time at this place, and I believe if I just sit down and stay a while, it won't be long till directly he'll be by the fellowship again. And you say, preacher, it's been a while. Why don't you just pull up a seat in the ashes and rejoice about what God has done? You say, preacher, you really believe that? Oh, yes, it's worked. I can testify it's real. Just sit down. He'll be by directly. He knows the address. Praise God. Why? Because I know I got a Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. What do you know, Job? I know he's alive. Glory to God. What do you know? What do you know, Job? I don't know if I'm ever going to get out. I don't know if I'm going to get my oxen back. I don't know if I'm going to get my sheep back. I don't know if I'm going to get my children back. I don't know if I'm going to get my finances back. But I tell you what I do know. I know that he's alive. And thank God, friend, tonight, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Thank God I serve a risen Savior. He said, I know he's alive. He said, I know that in the latter day, he shall stand upon the earth. He said, I tell you what, I don't know he's just alive, but I know he's appearing. Glory to God. Job knew a whole lot more than he realized he knew. Can I tell you, thank God, Revelation 4:1 is not that far away. Amen. There's a door of evangelism. I quoted last night. There's a door set before you that no man can shut. Revelation 3 said, I sent the door not. That's a door of error. He's not till we preach it and we apply it that that's to the lost. But neighbor, he's talking to the seven churches right there. That's not the context of a sinner. That's a context of a backslid church. And he talked about the door of error. But thank God, Revelation 3 wasn't the last chapter. But honey, in Revelation 4:1, there's a door of escape. And you better believe in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just in a day now, our Lord's a coming. And in Job, the oldest book of the Bible, if Job knew he was coming in Job, how much more should we know that he's coming today? But Job said, I know he's alive and I know he's appearing. Think about this. What did he know? Job knew about redemption. Job knew about the return of Christ. And he said, though after my skin worms have destroyed this body, he said, In my flesh, I shall see God. Job knew about the resurrection of the dead. I tell you what Job knew. Job knew enough to get home. And may I say, you may not know what the end of your situation is, but if you know a little bit about redemption, and you know a little bit about the return of Christ, and you know a little bit about the resurrection of the dead, there's hope for you tonight. You can lift your head, lift your hands, and in spite of the outcome of the situation you're in, and know there is going to be a brighter day ahead. Job said, I know some things. He said, I know he's appearing. And I know he's alive. And that was all he knew in Job 19. And it took him all the way to Job 42 before he knew anything else. Job 42:2. He said, well, after all that, he said, I know thou canst do everything. He said, I know he's alive. And I know he's appearing. But thank God Almighty, I know he's able. I can do everything. Everything. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. Come here, Brother Steve. Come here, one of Brother Steve, the little Brother Steve's grandboy. Come here. I want one of you little grandsons. Come here. Come here and help Brother Mark. Your papa will give you an offering when we're done. Amen. I don't know if them little ones will put it back in the offering plate like the grandmother did. Come here and help me, Bubba. I appreciate it. Look at here. Job 3 to Job 38. All happened was men talked. Job 38, when men shut up, God showed up. It was amazing. God started talking when the fellas got quiet. But can I tell you, not even then. Job said, if I knew where he was, I'd order my case. Not one question that Job asked was ever answered by the Lord. He didn't give him an answer. Job 42, 5 or 6 says this. He said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of mine ear. He said, but now mine eye seeth thee. He walked over to Job. Job put his arms out. Job wanted an answer. Preacher, he's Job. His grandboy is the Lord. Job was looking for an answer. And God just gave him himself. Job said, I used to just hear about you. He said, but it's so much deeper than hearing now. You remember when God, can I tell you, walking in on Father's Day of June of 2000, I'd heard about him with a hearing of my ear. But the doctors looked at me the day before Father's Day in June of 2000 and said, preacher, said your wife's blood pressure is critically high. And said, at any moment, He said she could go into seizures and she could die and your baby could die. He said, you need to pray. Father's Day morning at 6 o'clock, they gave her Pitocin, started trying to induce her. And man, I'd stay in that room as long as I could stay. But God had put me in a place that preacher couldn't help. God had put me in a place that mom and dad couldn't help. God had put me in a place that my friends couldn't help. And I'd stay in that room as long as I could. And I'd get somebody to sit with her. And I'd find a corner in that hospital and I'd beg God. And you better believe when I walked in that room, her eyes would meet mine. As to say, Daddy, have you heard from God? And it went on all day and all day. And I couldn't come back in and look at her and say, Mom, I've heard from God. About 6 or 5:30. They came in and said, we're going to have to induce her or we're going to have to take the baby. And said, I need to tell you something, preacher. You need to be prepared. The medicine we've given your wife could turn the baby black in color. And he said, we don't want you to be upset if he comes out and you can't see. He's not the right color. He's black and blue. Don't worry. It should be like that. And said, don't worry if he don't cry. He said, the medicine we've gave him slowed him down and he won't be able to cry. And brother, you talking about a young daddy. I was 28 years old. And man, my throats were crushed. My heart was crushed, but the main thing is I hadn't heard from God. But can I tell you, they took me to the recovery room. They put scrubs on me, and I sat down in that chair to wait my turn. And you better believe it was as real as if I heard the door click behind him when he walked in. I'd heard about him with the hearing of my ear. But the blessed Holy Ghost of God walked in that room, and he told me, everything's gonna be all right. And you better believe when I put her head between my knees. And she looked up and tears were dripping down my face. She said, Daddy, I can tell you've heard from God. What did he say? I said, Mama, he said everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, when you go from the hearing to the seeing, your life will never be the same. Thank you, preacher. Come help me, sister. After this, you're good, preacher. After this, I got to close. After this, there's a promise to assure us. How many of you mothers are like this mother? There was a time when you had a miscarriage. I've seen things of shaken ladies, but nothing like when they lose them babies. And you better believe, Mom, if you're a Christian mother, the devil will slip up to you and say, you're done. There'll be no more children. If you'd have done this or if you'd have done that, you wouldn't have lost that baby. And if you're not careful, you'll get to listening to him and you'll think there's never going to be an after this. You ever thought about that your after this has got 10 fingers? It's got 10 toes. It hugs you and tells you that she loves you. She calls you mama. You rock her and you rub her back and you rub her face and you look in her eyes. And there might have been a time when you never thought there was going to be an after this. But look at that. Looks like there's an after this. And can I tell you, some of you on the pew, you're thinking, I'm never going to get out after this. When there's one sitting beside you on the pew, there's one that you hold their hand. There's one that you be able to caress, and you get to tell you love them, and they get to tell you, let me tell you, the devil's a liar, and the father of the lie couldn't tell the truth if he wanted to. I say, hold on, child of God. Job never thought there was going to be an after this. But thank God, I'm glad it didn't close in 41. But I'm glad there was a Job 41. 42, and there is an after this. Some of you preachers left your church. You never thought you'd pastor again. But Sunday, you'll melt the pulpit again. Why? Because you're standing in your after this. Thank you. I'm trying to quit, and I'm going to hurry. A promise to assure us after this. He blessed the latter end of Job, and he had them three girls. You can study the names of those three girls, and there's possibilities that await us. Study their names and see what God did for it. Changed it over. But then verse number 3, and I'm done, there's a providence that amazes us. Almighty is the term. I think 35 times it's used in Job. He's in control. And can I tell you this? I don't want you to think that every time you got a bad situation, there's always going to be a happy ending. But hear me. one way or the other, God will write the last chapter of your book. So I say, hold on. There will be an after this. What do you know, Job? Job didn't know much till he got to the end. Now, this is not homiletically correct. I'm about to give you the title of what I'm preaching on. I believe if you could ask Job to say a word when he was done in 42, when he died full of age, seeing his four generations, I believe Job would have looked you in your God-given eyeballs and said, let me tell you what I think. I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. I believe if you could ask Job what he thought, Job would have looked at you and said, I don't know everything, but I've been through enough to know. Oh, I've not been through it all. And I've not even been through a lot. But can I testify tonight? I've been through enough. Thank God I've been through enough. I said, bless God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Preacher, could I have just a little bit? I feel led, impressed to give an invitation. If that, I'm not, and if you say no, I won't be hurt. But I feel in my spirit, I feel the leadership of the Holy Ghost. There may be some folks that need an after this. You're waiting to praise God till you get out. Won't you pray? Hey, Romans said that we ought to count those things that are not as though they were, that he hoped against hope. Hope. Had a real hope, biblical hope, has anticipation in it. Have you ever just dreamt about how you think he's going to bring your after this? What is your after this? What do you need? What's God trying to... Hey, when God puts you in something, it ain't trying to how to get out, it's what to get out of it. And I wonder, could you testify tonight? You could say, Job's testifying to you. I don't know what you're going through, but I know what I went through. And can I tell you what I learned? I learned that he's enough. He said the devil thought I was going to cuss God, but I didn't, because he was enough. And maybe tonight, you need to come tell the Lord that whatever the outcome, you're going to trust him, that he will be enough. Child of God, preacher man. Hey, preacher man, how you going to preach it to your church until God the Holy Ghost has preached it to you? I just want to say, the last thing I say, if I never get to come, if I die before next year, you remember there was a young preacher who said, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. And why don't you come ask him to give you your after this? We're standing. Won't you mind God?